Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. And as we just sang, we pray that the words of Christ will change us. I had a conversation this past week with a good friend of mine about that very topic, about how the Gospel is meant to change who we are. It has the effect of changing our nature, our very nature to our core is what the gospel of Jesus does. And if that gospel does not do that, then that's not the gospel. That's the whole point of the gospel, is to change us from who we are into the image of Christ Jesus. And we pray that today the Lord will have that effect on us as we look at a topic that all of us in this room at one point or another and at varying degrees battle with. We find ourselves this morning in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, and we will read to the end of the chapter. So follow along before we ask the Lord's blessing upon the reading of His holy ancient word. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than the body, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the fields grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, and with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all the Gentiles eagerly seek these. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, some of us maybe with anxious hearts, even as we are sitting here today. Lord, you love your children. Not only did you send your Son to die on the cross for our sins and to redeem us, you want us to be free of sins and struggles, and you want us to be a kingdom of priests who are free from anxiety. And yet we confess that we are anxious often in our lives for a countless different reasons. So we pray, O Lord, that you would change us through your words. Cast us free from the burdens of anxieties and give us the freedom that you promise. In the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Well, we turn our attention this morning to the passage that is of a great value to many of us and probably the greatest passage in Scripture in dealing with anxieties and worriness and how to overcome them. All of us are at different levels worriers, and the Bible has much to say about things like anxiety, worry, fear, trouble, heavy heart. Those are all words that the Bible is using to describe the feeling of anxiety. Whatever you want to call it, the Bible deals greatly with it. The Bible has much to say about anxiety because it is very prevalent in our lives. It is something that we deal with, and we all went through this past year and a half, 2 years with the pandemic, an increase in anxieties. During the pandemic, about 53% of adults claimed that their mental health was negatively affected during the pandemic. Half of the population of the country was negatively impacted. And what about children who were not able to play with their friends at school, were not able to have the social interaction? And it created an increase of anxiety. I had one friend describe it to me like, it's like everybody's temperature was risen to the point of simmering. So that didn't take very much at all for us to boil over in anger, because we were already all collectively risen in our temperature. Isolation leads to increased stress and increased anxiety. And Barnes & Noble even this past year said that their book sales on anxiety were up 25%, because people were trying to figure out how do we deal with anxiety. And instead of going to the Bible, they went to the self-help section of Barnes & Noble, where there is no freedom found that lasts. You can read the statistics of how murder and domestic abuse and suicide all went up during the pandemic. They all saw an increase because people were stressed and anxious, and they didn't know. There was a feeling of, is this the end? Because scientists have talked about for a long time about pandemics and how there could be another one around the plague. And I've watched documentaries on Netflix about the great plague of the Spanish flu and what it did. And people had this kind of sense that there's something coming, and is this it? But even outside of the pandemic, 40 million U.S. adults currently have anxiety disorders. That's almost 20% of the adult population have disorders of anxiety. And that's not just like an occasionally worrying. That's being diagnosed with a disorder of anxiety. The statistics bear out that within, even in our own congregation, there are people who are overburdened with anxiety to the point that it prevents them from at times being functional and prevents them from moving forward. One third of all Americans were at some point in their lives have a time in their life where they have an anxiety disorder. It affects millions of people every year. 19 million Americans suffer from specific phobias. I don't like spiders, but I don't have arachnophobia. I just kill them when I see them, right? I don't like snakes. I just run from them, but I don't have a phobia of them. But there are people who have legitimate phobias that drive their behavior because they are full of anxiety and phobias of anything you can think of. There's phobias of people, phobias of fear of people, fear of animals, fear of places, fear of anything that you can think of. Anything you can think of, there is a phobia probably aligned with it. We are surrounded by those who have fear, anxiety, and stress. But even if we don't fall into those categories of phobias or disorders, we still all have struggles of worry and anxiety. We worry about money. We worry about our family situation, perhaps. Perhaps we have an issue in our family we're dealing with, or perhaps we don't know whether the money is going to come from for this or for that, and it creates anxiety in our lives. Or perhaps we have an anxiety about finding a spouse, or finding a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or you're just anxious about school, or you're anxious about the upcoming test, or you're anxious about, you know, what's going to happen with this particular thing at school, and what's going to happen with a job, and my job's at risk, and what am I going to do? I've went through that over the past 2 years at my company. The legitimate anxieties and fears. We can have anxieties about our friends. We can have anxieties about our enemies. We can have fears about making sure that we're successful because we want to have success. Almost anywhere we look, anxiety can find its ugly head. But Jesus expects his children of his kingdom to be different. Jesus expects his children not to be weighed down with anxieties. The words before us today about anxiety and worrying, they are not suggestions by Jesus. Jesus is not saying your life would be better off if you're not anxious. Jesus isn't saying, I hope that you find out that you don't have to be anxious. Jesus is giving a command for you not to be anxious. Worrying excessively over things, being overly anxious, being controlled by our fears and our anxieties is a sin. It is what we might call an acceptable sin. We all kind of just accept it as part of our lives, and we just accept that you struggle with this thing. But in reality, it is a sin against the living God to be overcome with anxieties. It dishonors God. It hurts you as a person. It hurts the family that your family that you're in. It hurts your friends that you're around. And it hurts your church. Anxiety has far-reaching tentacles. But it is so common, the majority of us don't even tell somebody that we're struggling with anxiety, because we just think it's something everyone deals with. But that type of thinking is exactly what the devil wants. He wants you to think that it's just something that happens to everybody, so you don't have to really deal with it, and you're never going to be free of it, so you might as well not do anything about it. Don't go tell your friend that you're battling with it. You don't need to go do that. That's the type of words that Satan uses to try to get us not to deal with the fact that anxiety is a sin, which is why Jesus spends so much time on this, the biggest section of the Sermon on the Mount, dealing with a single topic, is that topic of anxiety. Jesus knows the battle is real for anxiety. And we will spend the next 2 weeks in this section of Scripture dealing with anxiety. This week will be more of a discussion in general about anxiety and what it is and what the Bible has to say about it. And we'll get into the passage at the end a little bit. And then next week we will look more at the cause and the cure of anxiety from the words of Jesus found here in Matthew. But let's think about for a little bit the effects of anxiety according to the Word of God. Anxiety is not just a nagging issue. There are real effects to anxiety. I can attest to that, and you can attest to that. It has real effects on our lives when we are under an anxious heart. There's a physical effect. Being anxious causes us physically to be sick and tired, and you have headaches and you can't get around, and you're unproductive. Right? When I am anxious in my heart, I'm unproductive. It creates emotional problems. It can lead to depression. It can lead to loss of friends and loss of fellowship, and can lead to tears and heartache and anguish and pain in your heart. It has an effect on your spiritual life as well. When we are anxious and battling anxiety, you sense a wall that you put up between you and God. You're the one that builds the wall of anxiety. And you put it up between you and God. And you can tell that something's not right. Generally, anxiety is a door that is left open. The Bible talks about not giving the devil a foothold. And when you are dealing with anxiety, you are opening up the door of your heart to give Satan an opportunity to come in and to do battle with you in other areas. When we are full of anxious hearts, our whole body, our whole soul is open to all kinds of temptations and all kinds of struggles. It is a door that gets busted open. Because you will find a way to deal with your anxiety. When you are anxious, you will always find a way to deal with it. Because we can't just stand not being anxious. So you will find a way to deal with that anxiety. And if you are not careful, you will find ungodly ways to deal with the anxiety. You will have outbursts of anger. You will lose your temper. Because you're so anxious, you're just like on a pin needle. Somebody says one thing and your heart is full of anxiety. And boom, your heart just lets out an outburst of anger because you have it built up inside of you. You will maybe have a controlling spirit. You are full of anxiety, and the only way you think you can deal with it is if I control every area of my life, if I control everyone around me, if I make sure they do what I want them to do, then I can make sure that I am at peace. Oftentimes, people with controlling spirits are some of the most anxious people you will ever come across. And the reason why they're so controlling in your life and in the lives of other people is because they are full of anxiety. And they are trying to figure out, how can I make sure if I do this, this, and this, and this, my heart will be safe and free. Or you might swing the other way. You might say, well, if I can't control it, I can't control it. I'm just going to live carefree and not worry about anything at all. And just be a carefree, loose attitude. Why do you think people get addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography? They're all escapes from the world that they are in. When somebody is addicted to some substance or some sin like that, they start it out by escaping the world that they are in that is giving them anxiety. You ever heard anybody say, I just need a drink? My day was so hard, I just need a drink. You will find a way to deal with your anxiety, because its effects are very severe. There are several spiritual things I want us to consider when it comes to anxiety. The first effect I want us to think about is that it breeds even more doubt. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. But if God so raised the fields, the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Those who are encompassed themselves with anxiety and fears are people who are trapped in anxiety and they cannot see a way out. They do not have very much faith to begin with, and then when they struggle with anxiety, it even diminishes the faith that they have. It's a downward spiral. Once you get caught in the loop, you ever like, remember dropping the coins at the, you know, outside of places of business, you can donate money, you put the little coin in and it spins around the thing, and I always watch it to see if mine beats somebody else's and it gets real fast. That's what happens with anxiety. Once you start down that path of anxiety, it seems to just spiral down and down. And you start off not having much hope and doubt, or you have lots of doubts, and you end up having more doubts. Anxiety doesn't cure the doubts, it creates the doubts. Misery loves company, and anxiety feeds on doubts and a lack of faith and a trust in God. An anxious Christian is anxious because they are doubting God at some level. It could be a thousand different reasons, but at some level, when we are anxious, we are doubting God. We are doubting that God cares for us. We are doubting his direction, we're doubting his provision, we're doubting his care, we're doubting his love, we're doubting his forgiveness, we're doubting his acceptance of who we are, we're doubting that he cares enough about us that he's going to cause this event to happen so that I can move forward in life. We doubt that he cares enough to even pay attention to us. Or we doubt that we know that he cares for us, but we doubt that he's actually going to do what we ask him to do. Most of us are, I would correct Galen on something, that was not a poor example of prayer. That was a perfect example of prayer. A perfect example. All we have to do is tick the level. I've gotten 2 loads of wood from his unlimited supply of wood at his house. And he's putting the wood on there, and that's all it does, and it busts the wood up. That's all it does. That's all what happens with anxiety. All we have to do is just exercise a little bit of faith. But since we doubt that the Lord is for us, sometimes we take it all upon ourselves and we try to do it all ourselves, and that's where anxiety creeps in. It does not Do away with the doubt. Anxiety breeds more and more doubt. It is a breeding ground about doubt. Doubt about God, doubt about others, doubt about yourselves. Someone who is in a battle with anxiety is full of doubt. It also prevents rest. Flip over to Matthew chapter 11. Familiar passage. Verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. That's a description of anxiety. Being weary and heavy laden. Bodily labor, loaded up. Other places of Scripture talks about the Pharisees laying up heavy burdens on people that they can't bear, just weighed down because of the anxieties. When we are controlled by our anxieties, there is no rest for the soul. You can be anxious, and it makes you totally exhausted because of the weight of the anxiety. So Jesus says, when that happens, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The issue that's weighing you down is not the issue itself, it's the anxiety about the issue. Why are we so anxious? Often it's because we don't give the burden to Christ. That's often why we are anxious, as we don't give whatever burden we have, we give it to Christ. But in every situation that we face in life, the burden of Christ is less than the burden of the anxiety, whatever it is. Whatever stronghold is in your life, whatever great fear and anxiety that you have, Jesus says that my burden is lighter than that burden. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble and in the heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. Compared to whatever load you are bearing up, whatever anxiety you are facing, his burden is lighter. So go to him. Flip over to Matthew chapter 13. Not only does anxiety breed doubt, not only does it prevent rest, it chokes out God's holy word. The parable of the sower and the seed makes it clear. Let's look at verse chapter 13, starting verse 3. And he spoke many things to them in parables, said, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up, and others fell upon the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil, and when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and they, because they had no root, they withered away, and others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came and choked them out, and others fell upon the good soil, and they yielded crops, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has an ear, let him hear. And his disciples don't know what he means. And they ask Jesus, well, what are you talking about? I don't get the parable. And he goes on to explain it. Look down at verse 22. And the one whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is a man who hears the words, and the worry or anxiety of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Anxiety is actually a barrier to the kingdom of heaven. There are people who will not get into the kingdom of heaven because they will not deal with their anxieties. They allow their anxieties to control their destiny. They are more concerned about the worries and anxieties of this world than of the next. When you're consumed with anxieties, it chokes out the word and the message of the good news, and they cannot hear it. They have the gospel presented to them, but then they're so worried about something in the world, that's the thing that consumes them and that chokes out the word of God. That is true for unbelievers, but it's also true for believers. Have you ever given somebody who's discouraged and you give them a word of encouragement from the Word of God? That word of encouragement is meant to give them hope, meant to give them strength. And that word of encouragement goes into their ear and they hear that word of encouragement and the anxiety eats it up. And they don't ever process the Word of God that is meant to be the source of hope and power. Oh, hail the name of Jesus' name. They don't hear the word. It goes into the physical ears, but it doesn't reach their spiritual ears because even though they're a child of God, their anxiety is eating up and choking out that word. Anxieties have far-reaching effects. It also prevents us from being alert. Flip over to Luke chapter 21. This is speaking about the return of Christ. But an anxious person is alert. They are alert, but they're alert for the wrong reason. Verse 34. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. Jesus is giving a warning about His return. And when His return is drawing near, He says, be on guard that you are not full of anxieties and worries of this world. Because if you do, that day will come upon you like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and stand before the Son of Man. When we are full of anxieties, we are not alert for the kingdom of heaven. A Christian's walk is in through the valley of the shadow of death. That's where we walk. Our path is a dangerous path on this earth. We walk in the valley of the shadow of death. We live in enemy territory behind enemy lines, and we have to be on alert. And when we are full of anxieties, we are not on alert because what is consuming our thoughts and our minds is the anxiety. Your enemy is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And if you are not on alert for him because you are focused inside to your own heart and your own anxieties and your own worry about life, you are vulnerable to attack. Flip back to Luke chapter 10. Worrying, anxieties prevents us from focusing on God. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Verse 38, Luke chapter 10. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. So Martha loves Jesus, Martha knows who Jesus is, and Martha sees Jesus and says, hey, why don't you come to my house and come stay with me? Can you imagine inviting Jesus over to your house for dinner? You women, I'm talking about you women, can you imagine Jesus coming over? You freak out when guests come over who mean nothing at all, right? And everything's got to be clean. Everything's got to be put away. You got to make sure your house looks like you live in a museum all the time. Nobody believes you live in a museum all the time, but yet we need to make sure, we need to make sure that, you know, everybody thinks I live in a perfect world and my house is always picked up. I never have clothes on the floor. That's just the way women's minds work. They want things to look great. Can you imagine having Jesus come over? Jesus doesn't have to open the garage door to see what a mess it is. Jesus just knows the garage is a mess. And that's Martha. She invites Jesus over. She knows who he is. And she had a sister called Mary, and moreover was listening to the Lord's words, seated at his feet. Martha But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. So Jesus is invited into their house. Martha says to her sister, "Why don't you come over?" And maybe her sister lives with her. And her sister Mary sees Jesus. And Jesus is talking. And Mary just sits down at the feet of Jesus just so she can hear every word that Jesus is saying. And Martha's up, cleaning up the place, getting everything ready, getting all the food ready, cleaning the dishes, making sure everything is ready. And she sees Mary sitting there doing nothing except sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me." That'll get my sister to work if Jesus tells her to help me. Maybe Martha is sitting there thinking, Jesus is sitting there, I don't even know what Jesus is saying because I'm so busy doing this. Help me get this done so I can sit and listen to Jesus for a while. But the Lord answered her, verse 41, said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." Can you just hear him saying, everybody saying this, it doesn't matter, Martha. I'm only here for a little bit. You can clean up when I leave. You worried about so many things. Isn't that you and I? We are worried about so many things. But only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall be taken away from her. Which shall not be taken away from her. What is the one really good thing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he has to say. And when we are full of anxieties and worries in our lives, we are not sitting at the feet of Jesus. We are not focusing on God. We are focusing elsewhere, and we are missing what matters most, which is God and Jesus speaking to us. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Our own understanding leads to anxiety. His understanding leads to peace. When we trust in the Lord, we are trusting not only in the one who knows the outcome, but the one who ordained the outcome, and the outcome will come to pass. We want everything to work out the way we want it to work out, the way we planned it to happen. And if it doesn't happen, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen, we are full of anxiety because we want it to happen. Instead, we should trust that whatever's happening is what God wants to happen. Hudson Taylor says this, "I am no longer anxious about anything. As I realize, the Lord is able to carry out his will, and his will is mine. It makes no matter where he places me or how. That is rather for him to consider than for me. For in the easiest positions, he must give me his grace, and in the most difficult, his grace is sufficient." We have our lives all worked out, but that might not be his plan, so don't stress about it. It is also a barrier to peace. John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, for I have overcome the world, nor let it be fearful." Don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus gives a peace not like the world gives. The world's peace is temporary. It is conditional. It is always at risk. The world's peace says, trust in the medicine. Jesus says, trust in me. The world's peace says, trust in the political power of the day. Jesus says, trust in my power for always. The world says, trust in your 401k. Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. That is a peace that lasts. And anxiety is a barrier to that peace. When we are consumed with checking the 401k and we are consumed with finding our hope in our medicine. Not that medicines are bad. Don't get me wrong. There is a time and a place for medicines. But your hope is not in the medicine. Your hope is in Christ. And lastly, it can and often does lead to depression. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart weighs a man down. When our hearts are weighed down with anxiety, it will inevitably, potentially, I should say, lead to depression. There is a link between anxiety and depression. They feed off of each other. Sin says, be anxious because it will help you to make sure that the job gets done. But it never delivers. Sin never delivers. Anxiety never helps you get the job done. It makes it harder to get done. It leads to a heavy heart that cannot function. The effects of anxiety are far-reaching. They reach our mental health. They reach our physical health. They reach our emotional health, our spiritual health. It affects it all. But we're not alone in the battle. I want us to look at and to think about some examples of Scripture about anxiety, just so you see that we're not alone. I love that the Bible is such an honest description of the human heart, that its great heroes of the faith are full of mistakes and sins. Only Jesus is perfect. Even those who there's not sins recorded about, like Daniel, we know that he's inferior to Christ. I love the brutal honesty of Scripture. All of us have battled with anxiety at some level or another. Some of us battle with anxiety on a daily basis. And everyone who struggles with anxiety on a daily basis, they want freedom on a daily basis. They're not struggling with anxiety because they love the anxiety. The anxiety has gotten a hold of them, and they want to break free. No one wants to be an anxious person. They just feel like they can never be free. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ can and will set you free. If you're struggling with anxiety, He wants to help. 2 Peter 1 says He's given us everything for life and godliness. He's given you all the tools you need to overcome anxiety. He's given you everything you need. We're to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We are to expose the darkness, drag it into the light. Come to me, all who are weary. That's speaking to Christians and non-Christians. He wants to help. But others of us maybe not struggle with anxiety on a daily basis, but we all know what it's like. Even among the saints of God. Turn to Psalm 13. Just want to give three quick examples. We'll only turn to one of these. People, Psalm 13. Let's look at David. Verse 1 describes what anxiety feels like. For the Christian, how long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? God, I'm all alone. You're hiding your face. I'm forgotten. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me, having sorrow in my heart all the day long? When we are battling anxiety, it consumes our every waking moment and sometimes our sleep. It consumes us fully. Flip over to Psalm 69, another example of David dealing with anxiety. We won't read all of this psalm, but just some of it. Verse 1. This describes the feeling of someone who is anxious. And if you struggle with anxiety, Memorize Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters, and the flood overflows me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for the Lord. Those who hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully and my enemies. What I did not steal, I then have to restore. That's an example of anxiety. Sunkenness, flooded over, weary, eyes failing to see a way out. I don't see any way. This is just how it is. Look at verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is to thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, the great loving kindness, answer me with thy saving truth. And then he goes on to pray. In verse 16 through 19, he goes on to pray. And in the midst of all of his anxieties and worries, look at verse 29. But I am afflicted and in pain. May thy salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song, and I shall magnify him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hooves. He loves obedience rather than sacrifice. The humble have seen it, and you are glad. You who work, seek God, let your heart revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise those who are his prisoners. David prays in verse 1, save me. Verse 14, deliver me. Verse 16, answer me. Verse 18, ransom me. That's a prayer of someone who is in the midst of anxiety. Hear me, God, answer me. But he never gives up his trust in the Lord. But just to list a couple others, Jacob, when he goes and he meets Esau in Genesis 32, remember he has deceived Esau and taken his birthright, and he's coming back to see Esau, and the Lord sent him back, and he is petrified about going back to visit Esau. He assumes Esau is going to want to kill him for what he has done. And he is petrified. And he sends out people in front of him, and he divides his family up, so if he takes one, the other one can escape. He is petrified. And he's petrified because of his own sin and what he did. Or the nation of Israel. There's countless times the nation of Israel was in anxiety. And I just gave the example of the book of Esther, when Esther and Mordecai. It's a fantastic story of Esther and Mordecai. And the nation is underneath the king's edict, and they're going to be done away with. And the whole nation in chapter 4 is distressed. And Mordecai is in sackcloth, and he tears his sackcloth in mourning, and the whole nation is in mourning. And here comes Esther, and she says, pray for me, because I'm going to go in and talk to the king. But the whole nation is distressed and full of anxiety. Anxiety can be because of very real reasons, and often it can be because of reasons that are not legitimate. So we're not alone in the battle. Even the great heroes of our faith, like David and Jacob and the entire nation of Israel and others, dealt with anxiety. It wasn't unusual. Next, the occasions of anxiety. Anxiety can show up in any and every situation. In almost every situation you're in, anxiety can find a way. Sometimes it feels like you're walking through life on thin ice, right? And you just, is this next step going to be the one that I go through? Is that when I'm going to break through the ice? And then I'm going to feel like David prayed in Psalm 69, I'm drowning in water. Drowning in the anxieties of life. When someone struggles with anxiety, that's how they feel. We need to understand that's a legitimate feeling that people have, is just something's going to go wrong today. I don't know what it is, but something's not going to work out. We will, over the next several months, be from Matthew chapter 7 through Matthew chapter 10. And there are lots of places where anxiety can rear its head. In chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, and when you compare yourselves to other people, that can cause anxiety. When you think about your standing before Christ in chapter 7, verse 13 through 23, that can cause anxiety. The storms of life at the end of the Sermon on the Mount cause anxiety. People who deal with disease in the first three verses of chapter 8 deal with anxiety. Encountering the death of a loved one next is a case for anxiety. Dealing with spiritual warfare, serving the Lord, your reputations, long-term illness, healing someone who is diseased, spiritual warfare, spiritual roadblocks. That's the rest of up through chapter 10. It's this one thing after another that can be a source of anxiety. The point is to say that anxiety can be anywhere. But you have to be alert for it and watching out for it. We must be vigilant. That brings us lastly to today to actually turn our attention to chapter 6 of Matthew. So a long introduction into the topic of anxiety before we start to turn our attention to what Jesus has to say about it. This is really Jesus laying out the foolishness of anxiety. And we will look at next week the cause of anxieties and the cure for anxieties. It is foolish to be full of anxiety. There's specific causes that Jesus lays out for us, and the specific cures to it that Jesus lays out for us. And today, we will just look at the foolishness of it. Verses 16 through 24 that we looked at last couple weeks deals with the dangers of hoarding material possessions, and now Jesus deals with the worrying about material possessions. It's all about material possessions. Treasures of earth and riches. That's what Jesus is specifically talking about, is money and collecting the money and being worried about that. But it applies to everything. Three times in our passage before us, verses 25 through 34, Jesus says, "Do not be anxious." Verse 25, "For I say to you, do not be anxious." Verse 31, "Do not be anxious then." Verse 34, "Therefore do not be anxious." Verse 25 is in the present tense. It's the idea of stop being anxious. You are anxious. Stop being anxious. Verse 34 is the idea of don't start being anxious. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. At the start of the passage, Jesus says, stop being anxious. At the end of it, he says, don't even start. That should be our way we deal with anxiety, is stop it if we are, don't start it if we aren't. Now, when Jesus says, don't be anxious, he doesn't say, just be carefree. Don't take as your mantra, que sera, sera, whatever shall be, right? Don't just be completely free of things and live the happy life of the carefree world. He's talking about overly anxious, being consumed by anxieties about everything in life. And he uses a rabbinical teaching style of what's called the lesser to the greater. He talks about food. He talks about food and drink and clothing, the lesser. So if he carries talking about that, that also applies to everything in life. Like, if God cares for the birds, or if God cares for the grasses of the ground, he's going to care for you. That's a lesser to the greater teaching style. Anxiety is foolishness. And it's foolishness because it doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't get the job done. As R.C. Sproul says, it is futile and it will not change a single thing. Being anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow ain't going to change anything. It's not going to change anything at all. Jesus makes it clear in this passage that his children are never to worry, never had a need to worry. Just four reasons I want us to look at quickly about why anxiety is foolishness. First of all, it's foolishness because it doesn't make your life any longer. It doesn't lengthen your life. It doesn't do anything. Verse 25, therefore do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall put on your body or as to your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Is not life, your physical life, mental, emotional, your total life, is it not worth more than clothing and food? Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. Now remember, Jesus is speaking on the hill by the Sea of Galilee. If you've ever been by water, what's always there? Birds, right? Birds are flying around. So put in your mind, Jesus is teaching on the hill, and there's birds. He goes, look at the birds in the air. Right? They're all around. They do not sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather in their barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Think of how many birds are on the planet. Billions upon billions upon billions of birds. Spiders, ants, everything, all the animals. They don't worry about stuff. They just go about their business. Why? The Heavenly Father feeds them. They have total dependence on God. They are a picture of how you and I ought to be, totally dependent on Him. And when you're totally dependent on Him, you don't worry about it. Are you not worth much more than they? You are the top of the created beings. You are the only beings that are created in the image of God. You are all fearfully and wonderfully made. You are infinitely more valuable to God than a bird. But yet He takes care of the birds. Don't you think He would take care of you? Now in modern times where you and I are at, that might seem a little bit odd to say because we don't have to worry about things like food, clothing, and water. But there are lots of people who do. And which of you, verse 27, can, by being anxious, can add a single cubit, which is equivalent to 18 inches, to your lifespan? Worrying about things does not make it any better. It does not make you live longer. Being anxious about things, whatever they may be, it doesn't make you live any longer. So it's totally foolish. There's no reason for it. Not only does it not make you live longer, it doesn't lengthen your life, it doesn't improve your life. Verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Observe the lilies of the fields and how they grow. They do not toil nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all of his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. Have you ever seen a beautiful prairie, a wild prairie, how beautiful it is? Or the tulip fields of the Netherlands that are over there, how beautiful it is? Mankind tries to replicate the beauty of nature. Right? They try to replicate it in clothing. Does anybody have flower print on their dresses today? I don't know. Right? That happens a lot. It's beautiful. And mankind wants to replicate it. And Jesus says, verse 30, but if God so raised the grass of the fields today, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will He not much do so for you, O men of little faith? Those things are temporary. Lilies only last for a season. And our anxieties cannot do anything to make us more beautiful than the lilies of the field. It does not improve your life at all. Anxiety does not make your life better. It makes your life worse. It doesn't improve things. It makes things worse. It also, it isn't a good witness, verse 31 and 33. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. That's what the world does. They eagerly, they wish it, they crave it, they demand it, they clamor for it. And we are to be different than the world. And they are full of anxieties about everything about life. We are to be different than they are. And when we are consumed with anxieties, it destroys our witness because they see that you worry about the exact same thing that I worry about. Your God hasn't helped you. So why would I come to you about your God? Lastly, today, it makes today worse than it needs to be. How many times have you worried about something that it didn't come to pass? The vast majority of the things that we worry about, the vast majority of things that we become anxious about, most of the time, they don't come to pass. They do sometimes, right? Let's be honest. Sometimes things don't go well. Sometimes the worst case possible scenario happens. But that's very rare. It's very rare that it's the worst case scenario. Usually, you're worried and you're anxiety about something that doesn't even happen. And even if it does happen, the worst case scenario does happen, worrying wouldn't make it change it. Even if it's the worst possible scenario, worrying about it ain't going to change it. Worrying does not make the scenario disappear. It prevents you from accomplishing this day's tasks. There's been times in my life that I'm so consumed with something and so full of anxiety that I sit at my desk for 8 hours and I get nothing done. Right? We've all been there. You're so consumed with something on your mind that you are so unproductive in the current day about what may or may not happen tomorrow. Some of you today have major things happening in your lives over the next couple weeks. And it is so easy to get caught up and to worry about the outcome. And to be overly consumed and to be full of anxiety about what may or may not happen. What's Jesus have to say about that? Verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Life is hard, right? The reality is life is hard. And when you are worried about tomorrow, you make this day even more difficult. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Every day has its own things to deal with. Worrying about it ain't going to change it. If it comes to pass, then you deal with it at that time. Whenever it happens, if it happens, that's that day's trouble that you deal with. You don't need to worry about it today. Anxiety is something we all struggle with at different levels, at different times. And Jesus does not want us to be anxious. In fact, he commands us, do not be anxious. So if we're struggling with anxiety, we need to come to Christ with our burdens and take upon his light burden instead of our heavy one. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you love us and care for us enough to give us words of wisdom. And is there no better time in our own hearts than to hear what you have to say about anxiety? And our struggles with anxiousness and feelings of worrying constantly. Lord, you tell us, do not be anxious. And you don't just tell us not to be anxious because that's just the command and that's it. You tell us not to be anxious because if you care for the birds of the sky, and if you care for the lilies of the field, and if you care about the smallest of things, Lord, you are going to care for us. Receive our praise. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.